have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. From San Antonio, Texas today, I'm joined by Jay Cranda, who's at home in Southern California. Jay, welcome to the show.
I'm broadcasting live from my youngest son's room, who's soon to be his sister's room in a couple months. So, yeah, you see toys. I got like a good Jake the Pirate little set over here and a crib over here. So, yeah, everything's good on my end. And you're like from if you're watching on our new Apple TV app, outside of Neil's being dark, it's you got like guitars in your background.
So. Yeah. So this is the TV app official headquarters. For those that don't know, so this is I'm in our developer's office, and he's a musician, and I've got like he got his rig over there, his music stuff, and so he was like, do you want to use this for the podcast? Work. He's like, it's complicated. So I was like, no, I'll use my.
I'm just waiting for the cat to jump on you.
There's a cat over here in the corner. So who knows what's going to happen through this podcast. So we're talking about advertising today, Jay. I've been listening to the Ask Gary V book. He talks a lot about advertising in there, and so much of the learnings you and I get are from Gary. And so I just went to Vayner Media offices the other day. Let's talk about all different platforms. But what caught my attention is they're all about Pinterest ads. So I've never heard anybody talk about Pinterest ads before. But there's so many paths churches can go down. And so here's what I think happens is churches are like, I don't know where to start and I don't know what to do. So I'm going to do nothing. And online advertising can be so efficient. It's so measurable. Like if you do a billboard, you have no idea the ROI. And even a newspaper ad, historically, you just did it. You didn't know the ROI. You assumed the ROI. Online advertising, you know how many people click on it. You know how many people saw it from how many locations. I mean, it's so trackable, measurable, and effective. And I would say like how I got noticed, in ministry came from Facebook ads. So I got into Facebook ads 7 years ago when I was a young adult pastor, and our ministry blew up because I was spending like $5 a day on Facebook ads, and I was getting like a 12 cents cost per click. You couldn't do that now local, but I was targeting, 18 to 25 year olds in San Antonio with Facebook ads. And it was like, how much more specific can you get? It was perfect, and they all saw like there was no 18 to 25 year old in San Antonio that had not seen our ad and was not aware of our ministry. And so anyways, I'm a huge fan of online ads. Let's just kind of process through though, what the opportunities are out there and how a church heads down the path, where should they invest their time and their money? So Jay, what are your thoughts generally around online advertising?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, it's so funny actually. So we record these every Friday, and our Easter services kicked off last night. And so I sent an email out to my community. Usually one of the first things I do is I just let my community know that, hey, Easter's up and going. And I usually wait, like I promote it prior, but I usually wait to send like it's live until our on-demand file is up. So, so I waited, I sent that out, and I got this email, and it was a little bit of a polished email, and it wasn't that polished, but it had like a graphic, and I used some links where they could click and share pretty quick on Facebook and Twitter. But I got this email back from somebody, like literally no joke, like my second email back. I sent it late at night. And the email back was, this is marketing crap. It was like somebody was ticked that, and like they used this lame weak argument of like, Christ said he would build his church, but it's also ignoring everything else Jesus, Paul, and everybody else did about using kind of whatever it takes mentality to present the gospel. So outside of, but it was just so funny how people have such a negative stigma around the idea of being strategic. Because really, at the end of the day, it's not marketing to me. It's just being strategic and wise. It's like Paul walking into the temple courts and he's using like Judaic argument, or he's going to the non-Gentile court, you know, like Gentile court, and he's being more philosophical, and he's going down the street and he's using a story. It's like, you know, before you get all high and mighty and say, you know, rely on the Spirit, it's like, hey, forget about the whole mind and soul and body thing that God created you. And it's like, yeah, like God could have created the ark, but he also gave Noah the ability to make it. And so like, it's so funny how people, even before we approach this, even get all weird about advertising, because it's like, no. But what we're saying is not to be the 99-cent store billboard that's like in your face and it's all clicky. It's presenting the gospel in a wise way. So for me, it's and we talked about this a couple times, it's that there is a fog over Christianity, and people have already determined what you believe and think you believe before they even come to it. And so where marketing comes in is that you can present and give a safe place and maybe a presentation of what the gospel really is, and maybe throw away and kind of, you know, move out that fog. And so to me, I think the platforms that I think you, Facebook for sure, that's what I'm all in on. And then obviously Google Grants. And so Google Grants is a way to do some free advertisements. You got to apply for it. You got to be an official nonprofit. You got to go through the process. But it's, I think you gotta be thinking about it. I know, where are you guys at with Google Grants? Are you guys still liking your experience?
Yeah. You know, the longer we do it, honestly, it's just like any other ad campaign, the ads become more competitive, yet the ads also gain more traction. So you get more targeted with the ads. So we love it. I mean, it's literally $10,000 a month in free ads that we're getting. And so I think we can honestly have a whole show about Google Grants and Google AdWords. We found too that if we spend money, actual physical money, beyond the grant for ads, they're proven to be more effective. So we use our Google Grant for our online church campus, and then we run some Google AdWords ads for our local campus. When it comes to Google AdWords, I would say to target the word church in your city. So for us, it would be San Antonio Church. Somebody's moving to San Antonio. They're looking for church. San Antonio Church, we want to be at the top of that list. That's worth that. You know, it might be $2 per click. That's a valuable click, and really just making sure the people that are looking for a church, that they're at least become aware of your church right there at the top of the list. So I think Google AdWords is a good place to start. I don't think it's the most effective place to spend right now. And so I'll go down kind of the platforms we're using. I would say Facebook ads at the top. Google AdWords is number two. For us, number three is YouTube ads. We're finding YouTube ads to be really efficient. And it's almost like commercials that people, as they're watching YouTube videos, they'll see ours, and we're able to geo-target with YouTube ads. So it's a really interesting, and we're so video-focused that we've got, we feel like, high-quality videos that are engaging on YouTube. The ROI is unclear on them. But we know too that even on some, we're running ads even on our sermon videos, so that if people see our sermon videos and it has, you know, say we get 20,000 views on that sermon video, it naturally has that appeal when people are organically seeing that 20,000 people saw this must be really interesting. Does that make sense? And so we're seeing value. I think I'm curious to the long-term value in the YouTube ads, but we're seeing short-term just not many people are using it, so the cost is low. We have not done Pinterest, but I'm really interested in getting into it a little bit after hearing what the folks at VaynerMedia said. And the Twitter ads are something that we've done off and on. Yeah. I haven't seen significant ROI. I've personally, actually with Amplify, that's where we've seen the most, and actually it's a Twitter product or service that we're doing with Amplify. We've seen some good ROI off of Twitter ads for that. But for the church, we have not seen good ROI. So that's where we're spread out. I'd love to dig into Facebook ads a little bit, but I'm curious, are there other platforms that you guys have used or you personally have used?
No, I mean, for on our end, on at least the online campus, we primarily just do Facebook. And then actually we've had issues with our Google Grants because we're a multi-site, and the way our nonprofit is incorporated, we're only able to have one account. And I have heard from one of our friends, Jennifer Miles, that you're able to, if you're incorporated like a multi entity nonprofit or something, you're able to have for every campus you can get a budget.
Yeah.
But you have, that's the legal process of how you're identified. So we haven't had a Google Grants access because of that. But Facebook ads is where we've invested. I personally have done Twitter ads and I liked it. I did it for an event and I made my money back, but it wasn't something that, you know, I still think Facebook, man, like you were saying, the targeting stuff, it's just, I could just dive into stuff that I just love and it's so easy. And that's where, I mean, I read an article a couple weeks ago that Google was even getting rid of some of their sidebar stuff because it just feels like Facebook is cannibalizing them. Like it just like in the sense like they just can't keep up in how easy. Yeah. And so for me, the Facebook ad stuff is where we've invested. And I think we've talked about in the past is that even getting into video on Facebook and promoting video on Facebook is so, you can have so much more retention. And I think a lot of churches should be thinking about uploading their Easter service and a lot of their weekly stuff on Facebook primarily, instead of boosting it on a click out, like think about boosting it on Facebook directly and then having all the links of next steps. And I think there's a lot of stuff you got to think about there, but you can get 10,000 views just for pennies on like nothing. I mean, it's just like, it's, I've done it where I boosted something for $250 and I got 150,000 views.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's crazy. And so there's so much to that.
So, and there is an ad camp platform that I didn't talk about, was Instagram, that functions within Facebook's ads platform. We are using that at CBC. We actually just started doing it for Easter and we are not seeing a good ROI, but to be honest, Instagram is where so many people are at. We've got to figure it out. So we're feeling like Instagram has got to be a place that we have got to capitalize on. Instagram doesn't allow links within your post within Instagram. And so the only way to really get people to link out is paying, which is why Facebook has been so smart the way they function their ad campaigns. And so we're believing there's going to be opportunity there. I believe there's going to be a flood of people trying to use it though, because of the popularity of Instagram. I want to say this though, as a comparison. So you and I both agree, probably the core two sweet spots are Google AdWords and Facebook ads. I think we both agree that Facebook ads probably has greater ROI from what we've seen. But I think understanding the two in different ways and how they function. So Google AdWords and Google is all about people searching for things. Now they have some data on you. They know where you're located. They know maybe some of your past searches or things like that. But it's really about intercepting the search. So if somebody is looking for a church or they're looking for prayer or they're looking for something like that, it makes sense for you to kind of target people in what they're looking for. But I think Facebook is all about targeting a certain demographic and introducing them to something they don't know yet that they wanted. And so you can then target, 35 to 50 year olds, or, say you target moms, and you can target your, women's Bible study or MOPS or something like that, you can very specifically target a unique demographic. And they don't know yet that they want MOPS, but because they saw that ad, they're like, whoa, I'm a mother of a preschooler. I might want to do that. And so you can really target in such a unique way. And then I would say the creative on Facebook ads is you can put a video or you can put a picture. You can really catch people's attention in a unique way, where Google AdWords is just boring, to be honest. Yeah. And so there's not a whole lot of creative opportunity there.
Well, and the other thing on Facebook is the whole friends of friends promotion option is so important, because you can easily, I was talking to somebody about this, that like you used to, doing youth events, you're like, hey, bring your friend and you get free to this event or something. And like we do all these things. And now it's like Facebook just allows you to promote directly to your friends of friends, different things. It's like a church's dream. Yeah. To be able to do that. Now I think at the end of the day, this is the thing. Facebook specifically makes it so easy. Yeah. I think you can pull the trigger so quickly and you can spend a lot of money. And I think you need to start with the end in mind and think about who's your target, where are they coming from, What's the language you need to use graphically? You know, what are some items, you know, some things that, that would probably make a lot of sense is that, you know, if you're going to promote something, maybe put in the back of the image, you know, the image of your church, So if they drive by, then do some location targeting around where you're at. Think about stuff. You know, I think a lot of times we are quick to spend money and to just think like, and it can come off very Christianese. And it's like, just remember, you know, you're talking to people that are unchurched, that are probably unfamiliar. They might not even know what a worship service is. You know, those are the things you need to be considering, and and get somebody who is closer to the age that you're trying to reach it, part of the conversation. And also steal ideas, go around, look at, you know, it's kind of like the idea of, you know, who had the most spiritual impact on you and model what they did. And so the same thing with, what are some things that you find yourself clicking on Facebook? What are some of the things you find yourself reading and sticking around on? And look at the language, look at the imagery. You know, a lot of it is just social habits, and you got to just be aware of that stuff. And then you got to do some A and B testing.
Right.
Just mess around. So spend $5, turn it off, see what worked, try another. And so, and then once you get an ad that is like, oh, this is working great, then put everything towards that sucker and blow it up.
Yeah. So I think I like that a lot, Jay, of really digging into who your target is. I think that, man, I just lost my train of thought as I was kind of processing down. That's hard.
Okay, man. You're just getting older. It's just happening.
I'm getting old. Okay. So here's what I want to address. I like ask a question here. Man, I can't believe I lost the train of thought. It was really good too. Like it was like,
I bet, man. I bet.
It was about Saddleback. And so, okay. So Alec asked if you guys use AdWords to get to the top of the list for other churches around. Now, I think this is a good question for both Google AdWords and for Facebook ads, because you can, on Facebook, you can target other organizations or their pages that people like and kind of piggyback on them. So if you think, oh, they're going to like First Baptist, so we're First Methodist, we're going to get them to like our page. And then is it like you're trying to steal people? And so, or we could say anybody who searches First Methodist San Antonio, we want them to come to our site at First Baptist San Antonio instead. I will say I'll do some spammy stuff. I won't do that. You know, I will say that, like, I have, you know, for some clients of mine, that are in ministry related fields, I will target, say, Rick Warren's followers to then, cause if they read Rick Warren's books, they'll do this. It's different though, when it's like a book and, you know, stealing books. And so I just feel like that's a poor tactic in the church space. What are your thoughts, Jay?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you just, you know, I would do something if you probably wouldn't want to tell them about it. You know, it's just like kind of like, if it feels weird, you probably shouldn't do it. I think that's a good rule of thumb in going after other church, like trying to compete on that level probably doesn't make sense. I think at the end of the day, you know, especially Google, you know, they're recognizing the quality of content and everything you're doing. And you want to be authentic because that's who you are. And that's the type of people you want to attract. And so as much as it's a game to try to, you know, you're all trying to compete for people, it's at the same time, you know, there's enough people that you don't need to get into the weeds of that. It's a good question because it is at the end, it's not, you know, you got to think about that stuff and you'll see it.
Right.
But I think go after, instead of going after the short game of trying to be number one, just go directly to the people. Like, think about that stuff. And that's the way you're going to grow your church. You know, the idea that, you know, most people are going to pick a church by the first on the list, you know, that will impact. But if you just do some wise marketing, you can just go straight at the people and you'll get more people that way than trying to, you know, go for number one. So,
So I remembered my thought. But while we're on the topic of being authentic, I'm here at Ed's house and his dog has gas, and that's real. And that's happening right now on the podcast. And it's unbelievable.
I don't,
and we're just being authentic. Like, this is happening on the podcast and I'm not okay with it as we're recording.
No, this is why I don't have animals.
I'm just being, me either. But Ed does. And, his wife, by the way, is a trainer at SeaWorld, which is awesome. Anyways, we love SeaWorld here in San Antonio. So here's the authentic point. Here's the point I want to make, but I want to hear your thoughts too, Jay. Is I feel like, and I saw Justin Dean posted on Twitter and Facebook or something, that he kind of stirred some stuff up the other day about, it seemed like it was about like being too spiritual in maybe some of your advertising or post, especially around Easter. I think churches too often want to be like the Gap, or they want to be like Target, or they want to be like Apple, like a slick brand, and unchurch things or unspiritualize things. When I believe that a lot of non-believers, they don't know that they're looking for a relationship with Jesus, but they are looking for like a religion. Does that make sense? And I feel a lot of our advertising, we try to unchurch things or not speak Christianese, but in many ways, people are looking for us to, I think. And so how do you find that balance in your communication and your advertising? Because you really are, I say we're targeting with advertising lost people. We want people maybe moving to San Antonio to come to our church, but more than anything, we want people that just don't go to church to come to our church. And what should be kind of the messaging within those ads of those new people we're trying to reach?
Yeah, I mean, it's so rough. And this is where I think brainstorming and having open conversation is so important, because I think at the end of the day, I don't know. I think there's some churches that are really good at church marketing and some that are just good at marketing overall.
Yeah.
And I think we do a lot of church marketing, and churches tend to hire church marketers. Yeah. And which is like understandable, but I think there's just two different looks.
Yeah.
And it's hard, because part of it is just we all start getting, it's kind of like the political candidates who are saying we're for the people, but at the end of the day, you know, they've been millionaires for such a long time that do they really know what the average Joe goes through? Like do they understand the work schedule and kids and managing? Like, does a politician really get that? And some do, and most don't, because it's been so long. It's like me trying to understand what a college student goes through. It's like, yeah, that was, you know, for me, 8 years ago or something. But like now when I go to a college campus, I remember I was doing this my last year at, in my master's program. I remember I was sitting on campus and I was only 6 years removed from, or I was like 5 years removed or 6 years removed from the freshman. And I was like, I had two kids, I had been married, and I had a full-time job, and I was going to school part-time. And I was looking at these college students who was me, you know, 6 years prior or something. And I was like, they might as well be aliens. I look at their world and the things that stress them out, and it kind of makes me laugh. Like, I'm like, I don't even relate. And the same thing as we're trying to market to people who are unchurched. I think we just don't relate, because we're so different. The habits that we have of coming to church every week, reading our Bible, praying to God, we just see the world so differently. And I think churches, as you're marketing and having some of this language, we tend to focus on language, and we tend to make ads that we just need to be more honest. And, you know, at the end of the day, we should bring more actually unchurched people, neighbors, friends, and have more conversations about, like, is this really the right word? I mean, we just use things like from worship service to sermons to things that are so foreign. And I think good marketing should be separate. Like, we should have more detached. And I don't know really how you do that. I'm glad I don't have to. The other thing, it's so tedious. It's so tedious, the language. I'm glad that I'm not involved in it at my church, because it's just like words. You just get hung up on words. And I'm like, my mind doesn't, like, I think that way, but it's hard. I just think it's hard to do.
Yeah.
Day.
Yep. I agree. I want to talk maybe quickly as we wrap things up, about the way I see Facebook ads working most effectively for a church. The first thing what I want to tell churches is you don't need to like follow this up with like going and signing up for a course or buying a book. Facebook ads specifically are really easy, and Facebook ads platform, Google AdWords is quite complex, I'll be honest, and challenging to learn. I would take a course if you're going to get a Google AdWords, but Facebook ads, if you just start, you know, and just hit like the create ad button, they will walk you through how to create ads, and it's really pretty easy. And the best way to get better at it is just to do it. You know, you can read books or listen to
podcasts and do different things. But here are the three ads I would recommend you creating or at least experimenting with. The first is page like ads, and it will just walk you through that process really easily. And basically, I would target people who already like your page. And yeah. So their friends will recommend it. Will say, Jim and Mary like this page. We think you will too. That just makes sense. Those people are likely to like your page or at least become curious about your church because they have mutual friends or a friend who's already liked your page. So that's a very effective ad in creating awareness for your church. The second is to promote. Your page or promote your post. And so, or boost your post, you know, is like I said, another way to say it. It within the ads. And so if you have important news, this is mostly for the people that already like your page to see that content and maybe some of their friends. So if you have an important announcement, like our Easter service times are at this time, that's worth boosting. You want to make sure everybody hears that, everybody sees that post. And then the third thing is external links. And I think this is where you really get a lot of bang for your buck. So when you have a clear call to action, and so like a registration for something or sign up, you know, a lot of people use it for sign up for a webinar. Or if you have a special event coming up, or even just wanting the community to know about a special event coming up, then you want to get them to your website. And your website is in many ways your front door. So you want to use those external links to drive that traffic to your website. So it drives them off of Facebook. Facebook is going to charge you more money to leave Facebook because they can't continue to run ads to them if they leave Facebook. And so it's going to cost more, but when you have clear calls to action that need to go to your own website, you've got to use that ad platform. But it's really easy. It honestly is pretty affordable in comparison to any other ad platform out there. And you define your budget. You know, you can do as little as $5 a day, and you can do as much as, you know, $5 million a day, I guess, if you wanted to. So there's just a huge opportunity there. I've got one other pitch I want to make while we're on the line. I've got a program called Searchable Church. It's a partnership with our friend Jen Miles, and we just want to help churches maximize the Google grant. And so if you're interested in that, just go to searchable.church and we'll help you get started. Real easy process, and we'd love to help you out. Jay, what are your final thoughts?
No, we're going to do a mic drop. That's it. Just get on Facebook. Come on. Hey, stop being lazy. Just get on Facebook. Get on Facebook and do some boosting this week. Okay, so for everything else, go to socialmedia.church to learn more about the show. We got Social Media Church University where you can go next level and use the hashtag SMC podcast. Don't forget to check out our blog and see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.